notes back there. Daryl, you'll just have to wing it along like the old days. Pay attention, I guess. I've been doing some series of things like power in the Christian life, how to have power in your Christian life. You know, of course, been out of the loop here for a few weeks, but Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege we have to come together as your people meet. Lord, look to your word. Be encouraged, Lord, to sing, praise you, worship you, Lord. We're thankful for that. And we pray now and ask you that you speak to our hearts here tonight as the word goes forth. And I pray for people that aren't interested in your word, Lord, Christian folks, Lord, that could fill up churches all over where the word's being preached. Lord, you convict their hearts. Lord, help them to see the need, Lord, of prayer and speaking to you, worship, the power that's even involved in that. Help them see that. Help us see it, Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The power of prayer, the power of prayer. I quoted that verse 11 to you there several times. Just kind of stuck with me a while back, several weeks back. I read that verse. I had it in my mind. I thought, man, you know, it tells us, you know, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We can ask him for good things. We ask him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, he's going to give us that. You know, we ask him for victory over sin, or maybe victory over fear. Maybe you don't want to be Mary in the play. But you know what? If you ask God for power, you know, you getting that, Julie? You listening? Are you listening? I know. I say, yeah. I'm saying, if you maybe you have fear of being married, but if you ask God, say, "Hey, God, I need courage," you know, that would help you out, right? Help you along the way. And so, whatever we don't have, I mean, good things, God's going to give us those things. But being a soul winner, I said, soul winner is a scary thing, you know, being a soul winner. But if you say, "Hey, God, you know, I need courage for that." Would God give you that? Or you say, "No, I'm not gonna do that." We ask for these things that we don't have. You know, power to be. Maybe maybe David and Greg will be angels, and but maybe they'll get speaking parts, man, where they got a line they got to say. Or you know what would be? Maybe they could sing like a duet, like during the play, huh? Sing a duet. But let me ask you this, huh? Could God do it?
Absolutely.
But you don't believe it because you're sitting there going, and David's saying, "I hope he don't do it." But if God's doing it, it'd be good, right? It would be right. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just saying, there's power. There's good things, right? That would be a good thing. That'd probably blow us all away, man. That would be. We could stop the play right there. Stop the play. That would it. James 4:2, the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." That's it. And it goes on to say, but you know, when we do ask, a lot of times we ask amiss, because what do we usually ask for?
Worldly things.
Yeah, well, healing, physical things, you know, aches, pains, all that. We don't really ask God for spiritual things a lot of times. And he does do healing as well. He can do that, but that's not the only thing. And I think that when we think about the average Christian life, I was thinking, boy, what a song we sang to go along with the message tonight. You know, the faith of our fathers. I started looking at the words. You know, we sing these songs a lot of times. We just singing along, hoping we're in time, in tune, you know, reading the word right, you know, and we're not thinking about what we're singing when we do it. You know, we do that. And I was looking at that, the faith of our fathers, man, those, you know, what they had, the kind of faith to, you know, be burned to the stake and sawn asunder and thrown to the lions and not waver, man. I mean, that kind of faith. Yeah, they had that kind of faith. I mean, think about that. I mean, you know, we have that kind of faith. Do we have that kind of faith? And so we see the average Christian life probably doesn't line up with what we were singing about. Listen, we can have the faith of our fathers. That's what the song is talking about. We can have that, and we should have that. Why don't we have that kind of faith? You know, but I think it's the reason of the powerlessness in the average Christian life is the prayerlessness of the average Christian life. When we do pray, a lot of times it's mealy mouth, you know, repetitive, just getting through the motions. I'm praying because I'm supposed to. Preacher said we ought to pray, so let's pray. But, I mean, we're really not thinking about the power what God would give us. And we look around Christianity today and we see our conversations with other Christians. What do we see a lot of times? Men frustrated Christian lives, people in depression, people in defeat, no victories in the world, no victories over the flesh, no victory over the devil. We don't, you know, we see people, it's always gloom and doom, you know, is what we see a lot of that. I mean, not, there's people that there's exceptions to these. I'm talking about the average. Then we see another thing in Christian life. This is what I see a lot of this. A lot of Christians don't grow. They just don't grow. They're stunted, man. They've got to a certain point in their Christian walk. That's it. And it's due to prayerlessness. I'm going to tell you what. You really get in serious prayer, you're just going to progress. You just will. Because it all kind of goes together. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? I'm not sure. You know, do you have growth and then you pray, or do you pray and then you have growth? I'd say it's probably you got to pray to have growth because, you know, even though we sometimes say, well, I don't feel like praying. Well, that's why I pray anyway. I don't feel like having a bad day. So, I mean, you know, we should pray. So we pray, probably pray. And so you see that when we see no growth or no progress in lives, it revolves around other things, but the prayer life is affected or it's not existent, I guess we could say. And this is among people that are supposed to be saved and supposed to be possessing the Holy Spirit. So why isn't there progression or growth in a life? Well, because they're not asking for it. Is God going to deny this if we ask? According to this word, Scripture's not. He's not. He's not going to do it. So we're not asking for that. And any power that we have in our lives, Christian lives, it's going to be due to prayer. It's just going to be due to prayer. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, we think about the faith of our fathers, the early Christians. When you look, I love the book of Acts. That's a great book for me. I mean, I love that. I could probably preach out of that for the rest of my life. Never go out of Acts. But, I mean, you wouldn't be getting the whole counsel of God, but you'd be getting some good stuff, right? When you look at the early Christians, look in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, there's a lot of, in everything, you know, in 3, I don't want to leave it out, but everything in between there, man, you know, the day of Pentecost, what were the disciples doing on the day of Pentecost? Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. You're going to be, you know, something was going to happen not many days hence, right? Well, what happened? Well, they were in prayer. They prayed. I mean, I'm sure they weren't praying 24 hours a day, but there was a lot of prayer that went on. They were praying on the day of Pentecost, and then, man, the next thing, what happened? There was Peter that couldn't face up to a little maid that accused him of being one of the disciples, and, man, now he was preaching with power, and, I mean, you know, a multitude got saved on that day. And so then there was persecution that took place, and you get to Acts chapter 4, and when they prayed there, I mean, they had been persecuted, they had been put in jail, they had been let out, they didn't come back to the fellowship of believers and say, hey, let's pray that we don't get locked up again. They said they prayed for boldness to preach the word of God. Is God going to answer that prayer? Yeah, I mean, in a positive way. I mean, he's going to answer it in a yeah, he's going to give them power. What happened? It said the place shook. The whole building shook. Woo. The whole building shook. But, and boy, you know, the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. Man, you read Acts 2:47, 4:4, 5:14. Man, I mean, guess what, man? People, the Lord added to the church daily. He was adding to the church. People were just getting saved. It wasn't because of the, it doesn't even say who the preacher was. It doesn't even say who was preaching right there. It was talking about the believers out here, you guys. It was talking about them because of what they, it tells you all what they were doing. Fellowship, breaking of bread, sharing with one another, you know, meeting. and praying for boldness, and they went out, and that's what happened. I don't know who was preaching. Huh? Doesn't even talk about a message. It just said they met, but they prayed. We do know they prayed. The apostles knew, man, they knew this secret about this, and they even said, listen, we're going to give ourselves to continually into prayer, into ministry of the word. That's what they said they would do. They knew how important this was. And it tells us in Acts they continued steadfastly in prayer. Fellowship, breaking of bread, but they continued steadfastly in prayer. It was important. You know, it's such a prayer, that word prayer. Man, it's like, I guess all of our Christian life, you know, I don't think you're very far in Christianity at all, you know, about prayer. We say we ought to pray. We were taught to pray. People that aren't even Christians were taught to pray. People that aren't saved pray. We know about prayer. It's like a word, though. It's just like it's so familiar to us. We don't entail in our mind, mentally, everything that means. You know, it's just such a familiar, prayer, talking about prayer. You know, it's such a common word. It's familiarity breeds contempt. You know, that's a phrase, a saying that we have. The Bible doesn't say that. So, you know, we think about the presence of the Lord, you know, we know there's power connected in the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, the Bible tells a familiar verse, they that wait upon the Lord will, you know, mount up with wings, right? They will renew their strength. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. I might have left a couple words out, but that's a great verse, right? Huh? That, you know, they that wait upon the Lord. Well, what does that word, you know, wait, what does that mean? The word wait, it's not a passive word. It's an active word. They weren't just sitting there, you know, playing with their cell phone, you know, playing video games or checking Facebook or Star City Whitetails to see, you know, what kind of deer or bear got killed. They were praying. They, you know, they wait upon the Lord. That's the kind of waiting there. It's a passive thing, active prayer. And yet, why, you know, the average Christian doesn't spend that much time in prayer. We don't. We just don't do it. And what are the results? I mean, we have a lot of activity and little accomplished in the activity that we have. Many services, few conversions. And so prayer, you know, prayer's a lot of things. It's a lot of different things. I'm going to cover some of them, you know, tonight when I go through this, what I want to tell you tonight. You know, we think about prayer, look at prayer this way. Prayer's a mighty weapon, number one. It's a mighty weapon. Now, we always think Christians are always pictured like on the defensive. You know, the lion is coming, and the Christians are huddled up in the center of the arena on their knees praying. Listen, a weapon, you know, can be an offensive weapon, not defensive too, right? I mean, that's, you know, use something, you know, we can pray, and we've got the sword of the Spirit, you know, a sword can be defensive, but it can be offensive, right, man? We can go after the lost, man. We can go after Satan before he gets started with the Word of God. And so, you know, and I think one of the devil's greatest victories is when he gets the church or a ministry or a person to neglect prayer. He gets us on that. Makes us, if he can't get us to stop, he'll get us to put it off, right? It's just, why is it so hard? It's so hard to do. It's so hard to pray. We just say, well, you know, we ought to do it. And it's like, oh, man, it's like there's like this mental block. It's something that Satan does because he knows. He knows how powerful it is. And, you know, you can call anything. You know, churches in the old days, you know what they used to do? Listen, in the days when they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have text messages, they didn't have, you know, the communication system. I'm talking back before electricity even worked good. They would call for a meeting. We're having a meeting. Out of the blue, it wasn't a regularly scheduled, you know, Wednesday night. They would call a meeting and say, hey, we're having a meeting, man. We got something that needs a matter of prayer. And the whole church would come out and say, you know what would happen if on a Sunday morning, besides you guys that regularly come on Wednesday night prayer meeting, if I said, hey, we're having a meeting Tuesday night, I need everybody to come down here. We got some serious praying to do. What are you talking about? It would be unusual, but it wasn't in the early church. They would call a prayer meeting for serious matters, serious spiritual matters. They would call a meeting. How many people do you think would show up? Do you think anybody any different would show up? No. Not in the blue, man, good night, because we didn't got their calendar. We didn't have a planning meeting and sit down. And this isn't on the calendar meeting that we scheduled back in January. It's not on there. We don't even show up for what's on there half the time. It's not on that list. It's like they call a meeting. But the prayer meetings in churches, people will come to anything but a prayer meeting. Huh? You going to King's Dominion, they'll pack it out, man. You going to have food, they'll pack it out. You call a prayer meeting, Devil's got us right where he wants us. See, he don't care if we come. We can come. The devil don't care if you come and sit to church and listen to the best preaching in the world. He don't care about it. He don't mind. He don't care if you got a Bible. Huh? He don't care if you got a cross around your neck. You can have a decal on the back of your car. He don't care about that. It don't bother him. Just don't get praying. Huh? Just don't get praying, because you know what will happen? Something will happen. You'll transform your life. You'll start witnessing. People will start getting saved. All he's got to do is keep you from praying, and he'll keep you powerless. That's what he does. That's why it's a struggle mentally with us. It's a struggle. Do I struggle? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes in the morning, man, I get up, man, and I think, oh, man, I need to spend some time in prayer. I mean, some good time in prayer takes a little bit of time. Oh, but I'm busy, man. I got a bunch on my list. What am I going to do? Huh? Yeah. I mean, he just gets you going sideways. And there it is. Here we have it. So the least attended service in any church, it's least attended. It's less. There's more in Sunday school. There's more in Sunday morning. There's more even in Sunday night. We got more people right here than we have on Wednesday night prayer meeting in this room right here. Yes, sir. And then we don't have many. Every church is that way. Every church for the prayer meeting. They won't come to that. And we've had Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, and people come and sit through the Bible study, and when it's time to pray, they leave. Get down to the most important part of it. Where the power's at. Out the door. What are they going to accomplish for God? Nothing. Nothing. They don't have any power. Singers will come to practice singing, but they neglect to practice praying. Amen? Amen, amen, preacher. That's good stuff. Huh? That's good stuff right there. It's the truth. The second thing, prayer is the key to God's grace. Ask it shall be given you, is said in verse 7 of our text that we start on tonight. Ask and it shall be given you. God's resources are unlimited resources. Unlimited. And the key to unlock the unlimited resources is prayer. That's the key. The only limit to what prayer can do is what God can do. There's no limit to what God can do. Huh? He can make an angel in a play sing like an angel. Yeah. Huh? You don't believe what I'm saying. You don't believe what I'm saying. You think I'm lying to you. Huh? I'll look at David too if that'll help you. Huh? I'm just telling you, man. You know, we all bob our head up and down until we got to exercise the faith, right? And say, well, we believe what prayer can do. Yeah, God can do it with everybody but me. God, that's the way we do. Prayer brings knowledge. Prayer brings knowledge. Here's another thing it does. Prayer has the power to bring us to knowledge of ourselves. Knowledge of ourselves. See, you think you know yourself. God knows you. You don't know. You think you know yourself. There's nothing more necessary to us to know than to know ourselves. We got to know what our weaknesses are. We got to know what our sinful tendencies are. We need to know about our selfishness, all those other things. Pride, everything that God speaks to us, see, when we pray. Man, there's stuff that comes to your mind. You start praying, say, man, Lord, that's me, that's me, that's me. The life of power begins with the revelation of the powerlessness and worthlessness of our own self. That's when we really, the life of power in prayer begins when we realize there's no power in our own self. And once we realize that, then we would be more apt to pray. Isaiah chapter 6, man. He got a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the room and all that. First thing out of his mouth, he said, Lord, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. God hadn't said a thing. He just got in the presence of God. See, when you get in the presence of God with prayer, God doesn't have to say much. He's got his Holy Spirit. There's conviction, right? God didn't say a thing about him. It's like it's almost out of place. He said, man, I was there. I was in the Spirit. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I said, oh, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Where'd that come from? Nobody said a word. The only thing the seraphim were flying around saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, that's all they said. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He saw himself. How come he didn't know that before? He didn't know that. Well, Moses got up to the burning bush. God said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. He took his shoes off. Huh? Man, he didn't see himself. Job, man, Job thought everything. Job was a good man. He had some stuff in his life, though, and God dealt with him on it. Just had to be when he got with the Lord, and he got in prayer. He had to be in serious prayer. One-time prayer is not enough. We need to pray daily, constantly emptying ourselves. Make room for the incoming power of God. Self is the thing that hinders that. Prayer gives the victory. Prayer is what gives the victory. Psalm 17:5, hold up my goings and thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. David probably wrote that one. Jesus told his disciples to pray that ye enter not into temptation. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Didn't say pray that you wouldn't get tempted. Doesn't say that. It said pray that you enter not into temptation. Huh? That's taking the next step. See, temptations will come. Came to Jesus, right? Jesus got tempted. Satan tempted him, but he didn't enter into temptation. But what did they do? They fell asleep. Jesus said, I'm going to go off in here and pray. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay, we'll do it. Jesus went over to pray, came back. Everybody's knocked out of sleep, right? What happened? They fell into temptation. What happened to Peter? Got tempted, he failed, right? Why? If he'd have been praying instead of sleeping, that wouldn't have happened. Prayer brings wisdom. It's another thing prayer brings. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. How about that? Wisdom. Wisdom's a good thing to pray for. It's different than being smart. So you can be smart but not know how to use it. Wisdom you have in smarts, and you know how to use the smart. See, so he prayed for wisdom. Give all men liberally. Upbraideth not, and it shall be given. It shall be given him. Woo! Huh? There's a promise from God. Is it true? Say, Lord, give me wisdom. On Wednesday night, I asked for prayer requests. Nobody says, Lord, pray that the Lord will give me wisdom. There's a good request, right? Well, start thinking about the things that, this is a good thought for us, I think about this on Wednesday night prayer. Let's start thinking about the things like this that we could ask God for. I mean, we can get the sick folks in there, and that takes a while in this day and time. But the things that we could ask God for, like ask God for wisdom, ask God to fill us with his Spirit, ask God for boldness to preach the word, boldness to be a witness. We don't have it. We obviously aren't asking for it. Right? Maybe that's the key. That's the key. Well, according to the Bible, it is the key. It is the key. This is what we need to do. This is what we ought to pray for. So start thinking, writing down some things. What could I pray for? And then when we have a prayer request, man, let's rattle them off. This is what we ought to have. This is a promise we can claim. Like most all these promises like that. And now we'll have the wisdom of God himself. That's pretty wise right there, right? Have the wisdom of God himself. And does God want us to have his wisdom? Yeah, sure. But if we don't have it, it's only because we didn't ask. He wants us to walk in his way. All we have to do is ask. Prayer reveals the word. Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anytime you see out of thy law, it's talking about the word of God. Huh? Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Prayer will do more than, listen, prayer will do more for your theological education than all the doctor's degrees that you could possibly get in theology. Prayer will do more because you have to have your spiritual eye opened up, and that happens through prayer. And really only people that pray are the people that can really understand the Word of God. You have to be in prayer. I mean, we should study the Word too, but you have to be in prayer on top of that, besides that. Prayer brings the Spirit. Tells us in Luke 11:13 tells us that. Acts 1:14 says, after the disciples had continued with one accord in prayers and supplications, that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There's the day of Pentecost. They had prayed. That's what told them they do. Acts 4:31, they prayed. I said this, mentioned this a while ago. The place was shaken. Prayer brings the fullness of the Spirit. Fullness of the Spirit's power into the hearts and lives of the believers. And prayer promotes spiritual growth like nothing else can. Like I said, you know, it's sometimes, prayers, man, I think when you start praying, you're new at it, you know, you get kind of formal with them, you know. You heard other people pray and you got to start a certain way, and then you try to sound like you got some kind of smarts about you. But, you know, when you really, real prayer is just talking to God, being honest with God and saying, Lord, you know, this is how I'm feeling. He knows, but you tell him, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm thinking. What should I do about this? I just don't know. Lord, I don't even know how to pray. The disciples said that. They said, Lord, we don't know how to pray. Teach us to pray. I mean, you know, just pour your heart out to God. Be honest with God. There's no formality to it. Matter of fact, it'd probably be a better prayer than the formal ones. I like Harold Vaughn would always preach. He would talk about praying. He'd talk about the guy that's new, you know, and he used a guy named David. The guy would pray. He'd say, Lord, this is David. introduces himself, you know, like God doesn't know. But I'm telling you what, that's an honest prayer. You know what I'm saying? What he's trying to get at is that's what God wants us just to be. If we don't know, we just talk to God like, you know, we can talk and say, you know, it doesn't have to have the Pharisaical proper terminology going along with it, right? And I think that helps us grow. It just does. That's why I told y'all before, like, about praying, like praying out loud, you know, to call on somebody to pray. Pray out loud at home by yourself. Pray out loud with your wife, whoever you pray out loud. How are you going to get better at doing anything? There you go. There you go. So pray out loud by yourself till you feel comfortable talking to God by yourself. Then you'll be comfortable talking to God around other people, you know, because we have corporate prayer in the Bible, and that's a true thing. Prayer brings salvation as well. Prayer succeeds in attaining the salvation of others where every other effort fails. Prayer succeeds in attaining the salvation of others where every other effort fails. Listen, man, we can pray. We can lift somebody up. I shared, you know, I told you all about my pastor where I went to church when I got saved. Pastor Woodard, he led me to the Lord. And we always pray for our brother Buck, Buck Woodard. Never saw the guy. I mean, 17 years they prayed for him. We left there and we were up here and we finally got word from back there that Pastor Woodard, Brother Buck got saved. Here we've been praying for him all that time. Pray, lifting somebody up. You know, prayer, man, so we lift somebody up. You get a burden for somebody on your heart that's lost, you know it. You pray for them. Let God's got to deal with their heart anyway. But, you know, you have not because you ask not, right? That's what it said. So you pray for that. Prayer brings revival. You know, prayer brings, no revival ever got started. And I know God does it. And it's not like a cut and dried, well, we'll pray and we'll have a revival. But I'll tell you what, every revival that got going, somebody was doing some serious praying about that. Somebody was really had a burden for that to take place. And then prayer strengthens believers. Prayer does. It strengthens believers. True prayer, really, it takes time, some time. It takes some thought. Listen, if you don't have time, make time. There's nothing more important than that. If we don't take time to pray, we're in a bad way. We're really in a bad way. And I really believe it. You know, like I say, the church, the whole, not just this church, but God's church, worldwide church. You know, it's, we're failing on this point right here. People don't see, they would say they believe in prayer and they say they pray, but boy, there's a difference in praying and praying. You know what I mean? Getting the power of prayer and really seeing the importance of that in their life, and we get something done. It's an essential. This is, it's not a, the command like to pray, it's not a suggestion by God. It's not like a superficial, well, I got saved and we've got the Bible and we go to church and we sing the songs and we do all that. Prayer is essential. It's really essential. You know, we don't have to sing. I mean, the Bible talks about singing and worship and all that, but we get by without that. But prayer is essential. That's an essential thing in any Christian life. If you're saved, listen, prayer is essential to your life. It's essential. It's not an add-on. It's not I'm saved and I'm a Christian and, you know, prayer be something I just add in. No, it's essential to spiritual life. It's just like eating and drinking, you have to have water to live. You got to have food to live physically. Prayer is just as essential as that is. And we don't miss too many meals on the physical side of things, but we can't miss it on the prayer side of things. It's an essential thing. Boy, the power of prayer. You can't exhaust this. You can't exhaust this topic, and I'm sure I didn't as well. But boy, if you could just start really grasping the importance, the power that is available through prayer, the power that's available to us, we can't get God's will done on earth as it is in heaven without it. I'm telling you what, this is a key thing. So, you know, what do we do? We're gonna have altar call in a minute. Paul, you can come on up. We got to pray about praying. Huh? We got to pray about praying. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for privilege of prayer, that we can talk to you at any time, Lord. You're available for us, and so we thank you for that, and we thank you for the power that's available to us, Lord. Help us to realize it, see the importance of this, and help us to realize that version, we have not because we ask not. Think of the things that we should be asking for, the things we should be asking for, Lord, such as wisdom and boldness and those things, a filling of yourself. Help us to realize that. Pray for these things. All of us together praying for these things and see what God will do right here at Valley View Baptist Church. Do in our life, our lives, our personal lives, and our church life. We ask it in Jesus' name.